And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Hope you had a fantastic holiday weekend. There's lots to give thanks for in fantasy hockey right now, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 8 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga and Anna Dua with you today. Shout out to Pete Jensen, a bit under the weather. Hope you had a fantastic holiday weekend and feel better soon. Pete, what's going on, Anna?
We got to send Pete some Skip, a get well soon package for Pete over there. Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. You know, I'm feeling good. There's a lot to talk about, Nick, right now. American Thanksgiving is done. That's a milestone point in the NHL season, as we all know, and lots to discuss.
NHL.com/fantasy, where you can check out the latest waiver wire and who to look for in fantasy hockey this week. I just feel like so much has happened since the last time we spoke, I guess a week ago. But let's dive into things. We'll start with the first name on your list in the LA Kings, Trevor Moore. In general, the Kings have been a phenomenal story. They just win and win and win and win. But Trevor Moore off to a really hot start this year, Anna.
I feel like no one really talks about the LA Kings despite how well they're playing. It seems like all of the attention is on other teams out west. The Vancouver Canucks are taking some of it. The Vegas Golden Knights are taking some of it. The Kings have been a pretty consistent team. Trevor Moore is a big part of that. He has 6 points in his past 3 games, 4 goals in that span. And this is a guy who has consistent shot volume, at least over the past 2 to 3 seasons, Nick, right? So I'm not really shocked that Trevor Moore is performing the way he is. I am kind of shocked that he's under 50% rostered in fantasy right now.
Yeah, me too. And I think when you look at the Los Angeles Kings in general, I think you want to tap into that offense any way you can. Like, that's been the marvelous story for me, is like offensively they're bringing it, but also defensively with the netminders. I think we'd advise to pick up either of those two guys right now, in Cam Talbot and Phoenix Copley. Hot 2 week stretch for Copley as well. But I'm right there with you with the Los Angeles Kings, and there seems to be a lot of those guys who are like sort of flying under the radar. And I think with Moore specifically, Anna, it's about the name brand, the name appeal, and that's why people are staying away.
I think that's exactly it. It's just like crazy to me when I'm seeing this team and how much depth they have and the way these skaters are performing. I just don't understand why they're as underrated or overlooked as they are. I said earlier this week that I genuinely think the most underrated player in the entire NHL is Adrian Kempe. I think he is probably on one of the best contracts in the NHL. This guy scores goals like nobody else's business. Everyone's overlooking him. Quinton Byfield's playing on a line with him. We've been talking a lot about him, hyping him up. Hopefully folks picked him up if they were able to, and that's panning out well for them. Trevor Moore might just do that as well. He's playing with Kevin Fiala. Like, what more could you ask for a waiver wire pickup?
Oh, it's a phenomenal combo, and I will credit you and Pete. You did some deep digging for today's episode. Some of these guys are like under 10% utilized and rostered, but that's why we make people some significant money here on the podcast. Let's start in Chicago. I'll throw a name out there as well that's not on your list, but Jason Dickinson has been on fire. I believe he has got 9 points in the last 10 games. I would look at him, but Philip Kurashev is a guy you have your eye on this week.
Yeah, he's playing on a line with Connor Bedard, right? Taylor Hall's not playing and he's injured. He's out. Everyone was literally everyone was wondering what was going to happen, who Connor Bedard was playing with. Our producer, Bob Bender, that was his big question of this NHL season. And there you go. There's your answer. And Kurashev has been performing super well. He's been doing what he has to do on that top line. He's a beneficiary of playing with Connor Bedard, point per game across his past 6 games. Like, what more could you ask for a guy put in that position?
You want another cheeky name in the Chicago Blackhawks? Can I interest you in some Kevin Korchinski? He's running the first power play unit now ahead of Seth Jones and that big fat ticket. So I love those type of stories. And again, we talked about this off the bat. I think you make an excellent point. As the season goes on, you start to wonder more and more about the in-season fantasy value of a Connor Bedard, because just everybody's falling like flies. There's going to be some guys who are dealt. But I think Korchinski's another guy who's got some pretty good appeal right now, especially on the power play, playing with Bedard ahead of a guy like Seth Jones.
I wonder how long that's going to last, though. You know, it's giving like a Luke Hughes type of situation, Dougie Hamilton type of situation, where certain teams are trying to spice up their chemistry and moving these guys around. Seth Jones has been a pretty good defenseman in the NHL. Yeah. He just has never been given the opportunity to really play in a solid environment that supports him. So I don't know if that's going to last too long. But hey, that's why you stream guys for a short period of time, right?
Oh, I would stream him for sure. I'm right there with you. And I think you look at Jones, I think it's year two of an 8-year contract here with Chicago. So as you alluded to, he's not going anywhere. I just think he's reached his ceiling in terms of potential offensively. And conversely, look at a Korchinski. I mean, he's going to fly along right there with Bedard over the next couple of years. Certainly would look there. How about the Winnipeg Jets? They've been a phenomenal story. Great to see Bones, Rick Bowness back in the mix there. That team has been flying high. We'll get in on some Connor Hellebuck chatter a bit later on in the podcast. But Vlad Nemestikov, under 5% roster rate now, but certainly have our eyes on him. He's been producing lately.
I've been talking about that line, I think, for like the last 2 weeks. I've been their biggest hype man right now. I think that second line for the Winnipeg Jets with Nemestikov, Perfetti, and Ehlers is such a sneaky, underrated line. Cole Perfetti has stood out for me this season. If you picked him up because you listened to us last time we did this episode, you're probably pretty happy. Nemestikov has been a big part of that on that line. I just like them. I like the way they play together. When guys are playing well together, you take advantage of it. I'm shocked that he's 3% rostered right now. That is an abysmal number, Nick.
It is, but I think you look conversely at that combo. Look, it is primarily Ehlers and Perfetti, and then every now and again you get a bit of contributions from Nemestikov. And I think certainly would advise to pick him up in deeper leagues. I think if you're in a classic like 12-team league, I wouldn't go that far right now. I'm sure there's some better options on the waiver wire. But in general, like, Winnipeg's just been a great story, and they're scoring goals again. Like, it just has a different feel to that team. And as mentioned, they're getting the saves as well. Even if you want to stream a guy like Laurent Brossoit, has been picking up some victories as well as of late. Speaking of which, we need a vibe check, Anna, on how you feel about Arizona, and then we'll get to the name attached to this this team, because I don't know, they've been up and down lately a bit here.
That's what we kind of expected. People have to remember the Arizona Coyotes are like a young team that's still figuring out their groove. You know what I mean? They have these players that have very, very high individual ceilings. We've seen it with Clayton Keller, Logan Cooley. Everyone's excited about these guys. I think Lawson Crouse is having a little bit of an underrated season so far as well. He's been performing. Yeah, he really has. And so you see like ons and offs because they really don't have that chemistry. They don't have like solid leadership over in Arizona. So there's going to be ebbs and flows. I still think that this team, based off of the players, have enough individual upside for these guys that they could make it into the postseason. I'm like on the Yotes wagon, and I'm not gonna fall off regardless of what happens this entire season, guys. And it's because of the guys I mentioned and a guy on our list this week. Michelli last season was one of those players that really stood out in terms of scoring and being able to produce, and he's so young. Once again, he's playing with Lawson Crouse, who's hot right now. I think that that line is another sneaky pickup, Nick.
Let the record show that Anadua called out the leadership core of the Arizona Coyotes. What is it? November 27th. So I'm going to mark that down in my calendar. But yeah, I'm with you on Michelli. The point streak continues. Lawson Crouse, 6 goals in the last 8 games. All I really care about as a fantasy owner is your team scoring. I mean, defensively, I think they're a work in progress for sure. The goaltending's been better than anticipated, but they're providing some value right now for fantasy owners, so I'm still tapping in Arizona there. Even a team like Nashville, like, what was the early story, Anna, with the Preds? They couldn't score. Now it's like they can't be stopped. I love the Ryan O'Reilly revenge factor over the weekend against St. Louis. Ripped them up. The Preds are scoring goals left and right. And I think, honestly, they're taking on the DNA of Andrew Brunette, their new head coach, and a guy we like this week in the top 6 who, when they signed him, you're like, what? But it's Gustav Nyquist, right?
Every single day I look at players to watch, and this is a guy who I want to talk about every single day because Nyquist is finding his name onto the score sheet. He has 10 points in his last 8 games. He's playing on that top line that's been lights out right now with Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg. Philip Forsberg as well, we got to talk about it. We know how elite of a player he can be, and he's looking like that right now with the way the Nashville Predators are playing. And my goodness, I will admit I underestimated this team. I thought there was no shot they're making the postseason. I thought they were going to have like a pretty down year, and they're proving me wrong because of the guys we mentioned, and also like a guy like Luke Evangelista. That's another player I'm looking at who has shown flashes, got a couple of goals. He has upside as well, and so there's a couple of guys you can look at on this roster, Nick, to stream in fantasy.
And of course, you and I have the Halton connection, Luke Evangelista from Oakville, Ontario. We love to see this. This is a waiver wire edition. Again, this is going to tie in our good friends over at Skip. I can't tell you enough. I was in the States for the holiday weekend. I took it all in. They hooked us up big time. And they hooked us up with this question. Patrick Kane, worth the ad? It seems like it's imminent. He's going to sign somewhere in the next couple days. I say yes, abundantly yes.
Yeah, of course. It's worth the ad. There's no question there. It's just about like, I don't know. I don't know. The Patrick Kane talk, guys, when it happens, it happens.
I'm over it.
You know what
it.
I mean? This is like, this is my version of what Erik Karlsson was for producer Bob Bender. Like, if I hear the name Patrick Kane one more time before he actually finds a place to go to, like, I'm done. When he goes somewhere, we'll figure it out. Of course, you're adding him if you can add him in your fantasy league. Guys, done. We're moving on from this question.
It reminds me a lot of the Rick Nash sweepstakes from like 15 years ago where I'm like, just trade the guy. Just do it. I was over the soap opera. It's not even a soap opera. I just want to see where he lands. I want to see the fit. Again, it sounds like maybe Florida could be in the mix here, Detroit as well, a couple other teams in the periphery, but we expect the decision this week, and it sounds like he's ready to play, by the way. So again, if you're a fantasy owner out there, see Patrick Kane. I think at the very least you take a flyer on him just because of the resume, the track record, and certainly look specifically at those two teams. A guy like DeBrincat, he knows very well from his days with Chicago, if he lands in Detroit. And Florida's got some star-studded talent there in the top six, the red hot Sam Reinhart, of course, Sasha Barkov, and others. So certainly look at that moving forward. Oliver Bjorkstrand's another name on your list. Again, NHL.com/fantasy names you can check out. And I love the name on the back end. We talked about this initially when that trade went down and sort of looked past it. But I said, hey, this guy will get the full Erik Karlsson treatment. He won't have to play defense. I'm talking about Cale Addison. I think it's a perfect fit there.
The Sharks really had to make some sort of move this season with the start that they had, and adding Addison, I feel like, was just perfect for them, and he's been doing well. He has 4 assists in his last 4 games, I think, but when I'm looking at the San Jose Sharks, Nick, first they get the floor wiped by the Vancouver Canucks, okay? That was like one of the most brutal games I've ever had to watch. Then they turn things around and beat the Vancouver Canucks, and a guy who I want to talk about, who I feel like is not being talked about enough right now, Mike Hoffman. This is a name I haven't said in a long time. This guy's getting some goals on the board. Is this someone you would consider maybe like in DFS or even streaming for a little bit while he's hot?
Oh, without question. He's actually on my list as we got ready for this show. The last 6 games, 6 goals, 7 points, 1 power play point, 1 game-winning goal. I think if there is a bit of appeal when it comes to San Jose, it's a guy like Hoffman, just more so. They're going to try to butter this guy up like he's a piece of toast and then trade him at the deadline. Like, that's the biggest key, the biggest thing they're looking at right now in San Jose. And as I always say, I don't care who you play for. You can play on Pluto. If you provide offense and fantasy points for me, you're good in my books. I'm sure you'd go near him right now too, right?
Absolutely. He was a player I was monitoring. I was like looking at him. He's scoring goals night after night. It's not stopping. So while he's doing that, he's a guy that I'm absolutely adding to my roster. But speaking of goals, we got to talk about this, Nick, this question brought by our good friends over at Skip. But of course, I'm going to talk about this. Andrei Svechnikov finds the back of the net for the first time this season. Thank God, finally. And we've been getting a lot of questions about fantasy owners frustrated with the fact that he hasn't scored ever since he returned to the lineup. We got a question specifically about who would you rather have rest of season, Pavel Buchnevich or Andrei Svechnikov?
It's an easy Svechnikov right now. And again, I gotta bring some sort of background to that question because Buchnevich is on a different planet, and I'll get to him a bit later on. I want to touch on him in the St. Louis Blues a bit, but it has to be Svechnikov. And I'm happy you brought up this question because a lot of people in my keeper league have been trying to lowball me with offers to grab Svechnikov off my hands. I think when healthy and as he gains steam coming back after that injury, I think he can easily be a top 75 fantasy player for rest of season purposes. And I think there's higher upside as opposed to a guy like Buchnevich. There's just so much depth on both teams, mind you, in St. Louis and the Carolina Hurricanes. I just think there's better appeal. And it's great to get the monkey off the back. Like, you wonder now, Svechnikov, with that shot, with that release, he scores a goal. Is he going to go on a hot streak here is my question.
I feel like it could happen because he scored a goal earlier. Remember, it just got called back, and I feel like that rattled him up a little bit. But every night he's getting like shots on goal. Last night he had 6 shots on goal and finally got a goal in the back of the net. He's gotten 5. He's gotten 4. He's doing whatever he has to do. A lot of hits, still a good category coverage player. And I feel like he was just waiting for that to happen. And the Carolina Hurricanes really need someone to step up to the plate because they really don't have a star forward right now on that team. Like, the points are diversified all across the board. It's kind of crazy how spread out they are, and maybe he's the guy to do it and goes on a hot streak to end out the year.
That's the way they're built sometimes. Goaltending wise, to wrap with the list, NHL.com/fantasy, some waiver wire targets for week 8. I can't believe it's week 8, but this was a brave move on your part. It wasn't UPL, who I think we've been endorsing for a while, but you got some guy named Stuart Skinner. Oh, he's on the Edmonton Oilers, and they're winning hockey games again. And I guess they're winning the Stanley Cup, and I guess McDavid's winning the Art Ross. He ain't winning the Hart Trophy if he does. I think this league is flawed. But you're going near Stuart Skinner again. You're very brave. I like that, Anna.
I'm considering it. That was Pete's ad, not mine. I'm going to throw Pete underneath the bus. Right? Yeah, I did. He's not here to defend himself, so Pete is going to get thrown underneath the bus right now. I'm not sold on the Edmonton goaltending, but if they're winning games and they're playing behind that offense, which is still one of the top teams in the NHL in offensive zone time, in every category across the board, it's worth taking a look at because goalies are just few and far between this season. So if you want to do one last shot, like I'm talking final chance with Stuart Skinner right now, like the absolute last shot, maybe I'm feeling generous. It's Thanksgiving. I'll give him one last look.
Shooters got to shoot, Anna. Don't miss your shot at over 200,000 in prizes by ordering with Skip. Every order earns you a shot at winning one of over 200,000 prizes, including NHLShop.ca and Skip gift cards, Skip game time tarps, and the grand prize, a trip for two to the 2024 Rogers NHL All-Star Game in Toronto. Order, shoot, win with Skip. No purchase necessary. Ends November 30th. For rules, visit winwithskip.com, Anna.
Hey, rumor is that Skip's going to send us some game time tarps. So imagine Pete Jensen sporting one of those game time tarps, Anna. That's going to be good. So hopefully Skip can deliver some tarps for Petey to wear. We'll put him on the spot. We'll change his wardrobe up a little bit. He needs a little change from the San Jose Sharks t-shirt. Right, Anna? We'll give him a game time tarp.
That's my dream, actually. I will like take a picture of that and put it up right here.
I need like one of those cutoffs. I need a game a tarp cutoff. That's what I need. Even though it's gonna be a bit cold here in Toronto at All Star.
A DIY. You can do a little DIY action, just like a little V-neck over there.
I love
the best
it.
Best looking podcast crew around, guys.
We are. You know what's also great? The Big Cat's back, and I think we tie that in significantly a couple weeks ago, and we gave the recommendation to fantasy owners to go out there and trade Jonas Johansson to anybody who can take him. Well, that time has come and passed. Vasi's back, made 22 stops on Friday, a convincing 8-2 win in Raleigh. The numbers are a bit crooked in that game, of course. Carolina and the goaltending issues continue with that team. But what did you make of Vasi's return? They got Colorado on Monday night. Looking forward to that game, too. But I think it's easy to say move on from Jonas Johansson. He did his job for us, right?
Yeah, first of all, that game was like the worst I've ever seen the Carolina Hurricanes look. So all credit to Andrei Vasilevskiy. He's a phenomenal goalie, especially this year. You got to pick this guy up and you got to do whatever you can to have him on your roster right now because the other goalies that are in his caliber just have not been performing well. But that game more went on Carolina's side and what they were doing and all the tumultuous stuff that was happening. That was just like a disaster over there. But moving forward on terms of Jonas Johansson, Pete and I talked about this week, yeah. Okay? Pete loves JoJo. JoJo is Pete's guy this season. I don't know. I think he gave him the nickname. He got attached. He was messaging me and he was like, he did his job. He kept the Tampa Bay Lightning in the postseason spot. He's the reason they are where they are. So Pete's going to miss him a lot, but you got to cut the ties, guys. He's done. He's gone.
Yeah, he's finished. Like, even if they want to rest Vasilevskiy a bit, I just don't have that much, you know, confidence, I would say, in Johansson. I think John Cooper, again, as we talked about throughout the beginning of this season, is very, very live for the Jack Adams, his first ever Jack Adams, so I would look at that. But yeah, Vasi, I think the time to buy low is over. I mentioned earlier the time to buy low, Anna, is ending on Connor Hellebuyck. His last five appearances, 4-1-0, a 2.00, a 936 one shutout, and that's why this guy has been recognized as an elite goalie for many years to come, and that's why I was trying my best to get him traded to Detroit or New Jersey, because everywhere you look, these teams have goaltending issues right now.
Literally every single team has a goaltending issue this season. It's absolutely brutal. But Hellebuyck, when I'm looking at him, he was always a goalie even heading into the year where you know he's going to be a workhorse starter, right? He's going to get those starts and he's going to be able to play in these games. And that's a huge asset in fantasy. I drafted him straight up in many of my leagues, not even buying low. And I was pretty happy with that decision. But if you listen to that and bought low on him, the Winnipeg Jets are doing something right now. And I can't endorse Connor Hellebuyck enough. I am curious, though, about my main man, Pyotr Kochetkov, Nick.
Oh.
I am on the fence right now because, listen, he's young.
Is he going to be young at 33 or what? Like, we're getting to that age at this point.
But like, listen, he's available in most leagues, at least half of them right now in fantasy to add. He's probably going to play because Antti Raanta looked disastrous for the Carolina Hurricanes. Maybe Kochetkov finally gets a stretch of games, which he hasn't, to find his groove in the NHL. And he was good when he had those little sprinkles at the beginning of his career. I just wonder because I've endorsed him so much and I don't know what the season is going to pan out for him, Nick.
I've been saying this for a while. Like, I know the media and everybody in public thinks Kochetkov's a good goalie. I just don't know where Carolina is on that front. It reminds me a lot of the Nedeljkovic, where they were just so ready to move on from that guy. And how many stops and starts has Kochetkov gotten in the last couple of years? Antti Raanta, who's always plagued by injury, they're playing him back-to-backs. Like, they got no faith in either one of their goaltenders right now. And that's the biggest stunner for me, Carolina defensively this season. You can't put this all on the goaltending, but it just doesn't seem like Kochetkov has that confidence. But I still attribute it to going with a three-headed goalie system for the last couple of years. Like, I just wonder what that means for the psyche of a goaltender. But at the very least, I would put him on your radar. Like, I was even, you know, scared to start this guy on Sunday against the lowly Columbus Blue Jackets. Like, that's where we're at, and Carolina to storm back and win that game. So I think right now, Anna, he's on my watch list. I'm not sure I'm going all the way with Kochetkov right now, although I just mentioned he's on one of my keeper league rosters.
He reminds me of a young Marc-Andre Fleury, guys. That's what I'll say. That's, like, that's not in terms of, like, his individual caliber, but the way he plays hockey. You know, Fleury has his high highs and his low lows, and he does things sometimes where he makes some mistakes, and I see that in Kochetkov, and you never know where that could take him. But in terms of goalies, another goalie that was Pete's decision because of the team he plays on, UPL of the Buffalo Sabres, and we got a fan question, too, about whether it's time to give up on the Buffalo Sabres. I spent my Thanksgiving in the good city of Buffalo, and my goodness,
good for you.
Those sports fans are going through it right now, Nick.
Just now? Not the last 20 years?
Forever. They've been going through it forever. It's just so sad.
Okay, so again, Devon Levi, again, we varied on opinion. I said fade the guy. I don't like rookie goaltenders, and again, your answer's the proof's in the pudding. I think UPL's the guy this year. I honestly do. Like, I think goaltenders, weirdly enough, take this path, Anna, where it's like really, really turbulent. You have your hot starts, your bad starts. But let's not lose sight of the fact that UPL was very highly touted coming up from the American Hockey League, coming out of Finland. And I think he's finally finding his footing in the NHL. Having said that, for me, it's a full fade on the Buffalo Sabres just strictly because their star player is out for an extended period of time. And that just hurts. Like, you just wonder where everything's going to come from when your major source is out of the lineup. And defensively speaking, I think they're a work in progress. They've been a massive disappointment, but all I'll say is I told you so. I mean, I expected this from the Buffalo Sabres. I still think they'll smell around a playoff spot, but I think there's some distinct flaws in that roster. Maybe you feel a bit differently about them right now.
I don't know how I feel about them. I'm not thrilled with what I've seen, but also they've been dealt like a terrible, terrible injury luck right now, and you really can't overcome that. It's just annoying because I had the Buffalo Sabres and the Ottawa Senators making the postseason over both Florida teams, and I thought, you know, this is the year it happens, and then everything just becomes a disaster for Ottawa. Buffalo's getting hit with whatever they're getting hit with right now, and we've been waiting for them to take the next step for so long and for there to be like a changing of the guard, but look at it again. It's almost December, and who's at the top of the Atlantic? It's the Boston Bruins and the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning are looking good with Andrei Vasilevskiy back. The only surprise somewhat is the Detroit Red Wings, but it's boring. I'm over it, but I'm disappointed with the Buffalo Sabres and the Ottawa Senators.
Right there with you. Our good friends, again, at Skip have been hooking us up for a long period of time, including the holiday weekend, and we got hooked up with this question. Some concerned fantasy owners when it comes to New Jersey's crease, Vitek Vanacek and Akira Schmid. Maybe they call on Jonas Johansson. Maybe that's the answers to the problem there in New Jersey. But again, Anna, I'm not going to pat myself on the back on the podcast all year long, but it's tough going from the hunter to the hunted. And that's exactly what's happened with New Jersey. How much faith do you have in them defensively, more so in between the pipes? Are you going anywhere near those two guys right now?
No, I'm not. Like, their team defensively is just not looking good. They're an offensive powerhouse. When they score, they can score a lot of goals. But defensively, the New Jersey Devils are just not solid on their back end. And it's just, they won one game against the Buffalo Sabres, who we were just talking about, were also abysmal. But before that, the New Jersey Devils, they looked really, really brutal. They looked brutal for a long, long stretch, even once Jack Hughes came back. So I don't know. I think this team is still going to turn it around and go on a little bit of a stretch. Yeah. Remember last season, like, all of the Fire Lindy chants that were happening at the beginning of the year? Then they turned around. They were the hottest team in the NHL. It's going to happen again this season. But remember what we're seeing right now and look at it in terms of a futures appeal. When your back end is this weak, Nick, it really hurts what I think of you in terms of how far you're going to make it this season.
Yeah, just a very weird feel to that team in general. I think in terms of their tenacity, the way they played last year defensively, they were locked in. It's just a much different feel around that team. Dougie Hamilton got buried by his head coach the other day. There's some major league question marks with that team. And then you look back, as mentioned, a guy like Connor Hellebuck was there. You could have solidified your crease at least for the next 5 years, and that's who you're getting. Speaking of which, I got to give Detroit a bit of a shout-out. I know producer Bob wants to step in here, but Alex Lyon, I wonder if he's starting to steal that number one job in Detroit. Three appearances so far, 2-1-0, 1.35, 9.52, and one shutout for a Detroit team who's making some noise post-Global Series trip here, Anna.
Detroit looks good. I've been waiting for them to fall off. I think they looked good to start out the season. They still look good right now. Their players are performing. They're finding some groove. It seems like the team has chemistry. And you know what? I'm not going to hate on them. Everyone keeps telling me with everything I say so far in the season, it's still early. It's still early. It's almost December. Yeah. It is almost December. The Detroit Red Wings are still looking good, and I'm done doubting this team. I didn't have them making the postseason, but maybe I got to change my tune now.
You do? Producer Bob, is it still too early?
Well, listen, I was just going to say the only thing that has been an upgrade with the Devils this season has been the MSG broadcast. Anna Dua on the broadcast doing the stuff on the panel. Oh. How about that, Anna? How about a little pop for you? Usually I'm ragging on you, dogging on you, but she's done a nice job on the MSG broadcast, so go check it out if you haven't seen it. Kudos to Anna. Kudos to Anna. That's
well
all
done.
I want
so
to
kind.
Say.
Anna. I feel well like done. Lucas V right now with the shout-out that I just got on this podcast.
We love
wow.
Skip, though. Don't get me wrong. We love Skip on this podcast.
And
we love
Lucas
you too,
V.
But, we love you, too. A couple more things, and we'll wrap for the week, at least for this edition of the show. Penn's injuries mounting up in the top six. I think if you're looking for some sneaky waiver ads, more so Drew O'Connor's playing on the top line with Gensel and Crosby. You know, Raquel and Brian Rust are out right now. And the second line is Smith, Malkin, and Nylander. But Pittsburgh's a team still finding a way here, Anna.
They are. They have the pieces. I just don't think that they're going to win that many games with the way they're set up right now, which is fine in fantasy, right? You just want guys to produce, and you can pick up on some of those sneaky lines that you just mentioned. And I think Pittsburgh's a team that some people are overlooking. Maybe a good option to pick up guys people don't have on their radar or buy low on some guys. Another team that I think maybe I'm just optimistic right now. I'm in
probably
a good
is.
Mood after Bob's little shout out that he gave me. The Minnesota Wild look like a disaster this year, and that is the nicest way I can phrase it with the way they've been playing. But you can buy low on a lot of those guys right now, Nick. You really can. Matt Boldy, the big one that I'm looking at.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about them is they've made the playoffs four straight seasons in 10 of 11. Like, that's what they do. But then you look at 5-10-4, you look at they've dropped seven in a row, and just something is off with that team. I think those are the two names I would look at, Kaprizov and Boldy. Joel Eriksson Ek, weirdly enough, is off to a phenomenal start, is on pace, I think, for his best statistical output of his NHL career. But aside from that, the crease defensively, like, it just shows you, Anna, how volatile the position is. Because you look at New Jersey, you look at Minnesota from last year, two of the better defensive teams, and now this year, it's like they can't get a save and they can't win a game, and it's changed completely, and it just shows you from year to year how things can change so drastically in between the pipes.
It's literally so crazy. At this point, we can throw Davey Satriano in a pair of pads and put him in the Minnesota crease and see if he holds up. I actually think he might have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that, Anna. I do not know about that.
He's got a quick question. With it.
Yeah, he is. We got a question delivered by Skip Levi. Do we drop Devin Levi? We talked about the Buffalo Sabres. We talked about that crease. I'm inching towards that being a yes, Anna. Give me a couple more weeks, couple bomb starts, and see you later, Devin Levi.
Yeah, like a week and a half. I think it's done. It's okay. He has keeper league. There you go. There's your little sprinkle for Devin Levi. But no, I think I'm done.
All right, let's look at some quick bets to potentially place, and then we'll wrap here. Monday's schedule is interesting. You got Tampa and Colorado. I might favor the under in that game. Maybe a sneaky potential preview of the Stanley Cup final. The big cat Vasilevsky's back. Jorge has been playing pretty well this season. Like the under in that one. All of a sudden, Vegas can't score goals. Vegas and Calgary, the under in that one I would look at as well. The Golden Knights, I think, have six goals in the last four games. And Boston and Columbus, I know Columbus has really, really struggled. The Bruins have lost back-to-back games, which is weird. I'm sort of maybe feeling that Columbus puck line. Not sure if I'll get there, but it's something I wanted to throw out there at the very least.
I don't hate it. Columbus looked good against Carolina. You got to give them some credit there, right? So they're holding their own. They're a gritty team. They have some players that I'm watching in that matchup. Boone Jenner. I'm going to talk about this guy every single week because he's so incredibly underrated to score a goal. The guy has 4 goals in his past 5 games. He's a player I'm looking at. Nichushkin's been on a heater right now, too. Absolute heater. 11 points in his last 7 games, 7 goals in the span. Another guy to look at to find the back of the net. So some of guys like that in those matchups are some players that I'm watching.
Yeah, that really hurts. Val Nichushkin, I had him on a keeper league roster earlier in the year, and I just dumped him. I just couldn't wait for him to turn things around, but he's done so in a big-time way here for the Colorado Avalanche. So once again, we send our finest to our Master-in-Chief, Pete Jensen. Hopefully he's with us on Thursday for the Week 8 Mailbag edition. Time is flying in the season. It's not early anymore. To answer Bob earlier on, it's not early anymore, Anna.
It's not early anymore at all. And Pete needs to defend himself right now. I threw him under the bus on so many picks we had. Multiple times. I'm just making his sickness a little bit worse. But he'll be back on Thursday and give us some explanation behind some of these decisions he made.
Fair enough. Week 8 Mailbag coming later this week. Thanks to producer Bob Bender for Anna Dua. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.